To be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So glad you're here this morning, and we love your pastor and his wife and family. Very thankful for them and the friendship we've had with them for so many years. I did pick him up on my very first bus route that I ran all those years ago, and taught him in children's church, and chased him around, and I think I threatened to kill him several times. Back then, and maybe while he's on staff too, I don't know. Just kidding about that. Brother Ben, your pastor, well, I sure hated to lose him as a staff member all those years ago, but God has used him in an incredible way in Nebraska, and I know it's going to be the same way here. I just want to say, really, that your church is blessed.
Amen.
That God sent you this family.
Amen.
It's true. It's true. I'm so thankful. So thankful. I don't know any more dedicated man of God than your pastor. And his wife is just a jewel. And anyway, you're very blessed. I am happy to be here. And I am really hoping that by the end of all this meeting, Wednesday night, that you're happy I was here. So, pray for me, if you will, during the week. And then I said during Sunday school hour, if you don't pray any other way this week, pray this way. Lord, if you don't speak to anybody else, speak to me. Because we do have a personal God, and he does want to help us. He absolutely wants to help us. And let me encourage you to be back tonight. Well, preacher, I usually don't come on Sunday night services. I want to encourage you to be back tonight. And then I want to encourage you to be here Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night if you're not providentially hindered, because I do believe God has something for us. And I truly believe if we come desiring what he has for us, that we'll get it. And I don't claim to be anything or anybody. I promise you that's true. I was saved out of a life of drug addiction. We may get into that here, but I'm just glad. I'm glad to be alive. And I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm very thankful that he called me into ministry, even though I can't believe he did. But I know that we serve a great God.
Amen.
And that he has something for us. He truly has something for us. This is not just something we're due, go through the religious motions. No, we're expecting God to do great things. And I want you to be a part of that. I want you to be a part of that. And just be here for every service. And if it doesn't work out well for you, we'll give you all your money back. Everything will be fine. Everything will be good. We're going to go to the book of the Revelation this morning in chapter number 20. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. I'm so thankful that my wife, Miss Pam, could come with me. For the meeting, we have actually been married for 45 years now, and we're hoping to make it 46. She says it's looking a little rocky, but I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. Very thankful for my wife, and glad she can be here with me this week for sure. The book of the Revelation, in chapter number 20, and look down with me, if you will, please, to verse number 7. Verse 7. And if you'll follow along with me, I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. Excuse me. The Bible says, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you'll leave your Bible open there, we're going to look at these verses throughout the message, and which I have entitled, There is Coming a Day.
Amen.
There is coming a day.
Amen.
So let's pray and we'll get right on into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in this place today, and we believe we're exactly where you'd have us to be. And I'm thankful for everybody that's here, and it's no mistake. No mistake. The folks that are here, it's your will that they be here. I believe you have something for us, you know, not only this morning, throughout the week, but Father, I want us to focus right now on what you have for us. And whether we're saved by your grace and know you as our Heavenly Father, or whether we're in here and we do not know Christ as our Savior, you have something for us today. So we pray your perfect will would be done in all of this. We've prayed for your power, and we pray once again, Lord, that you just give us guidance and power and unction and liberty to preach this message the way you'd have it done. May you be honored and glorified in the end of it all. And we'll thank you and praise you for your goodness and mercy to us. For we ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. And please, please do be seated. If we were to go up and read the prior verses in this chapter, and we'll not take time to do that, but if we were to do that, we'd see that Satan had been bound for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit.
Right.
And then when he's loosed, he's going to go out to deceive the nations once again, but he will not prevail in that. Verse number 7 again, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Somebody might say, well, Brother Marshall, why in the world, if God's had him bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, why does he let him go? I don't know. And the Bible's not real clear about that. I don't know. Maybe it's just to prove the depravity of man. Oh, what do you mean by that? Well, you think about this. At this point, he's been bound. Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, has ruled and reigned on the earth for 1,000 years, the millennial reign we're talking about. So for 1,000 years, the Bible says that when he comes to reign during the millennial reign, that for 1,000 years, people will be made to do right. Right now, I said in Sunday school, God's never made me do anything.
Amen.
He didn't make me get saved, didn't make me read my Bible, didn't make me go to church, none of those things. But during the millennial reign, the Bible says that Jesus will rule and reign with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible says. So we're going to be made to do right for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, all the beer joints will be shut down. For 1,000 years, all the liquor stores will be shut down. For 1,000 years, all the pot houses will be shut down. For 1,000 years, all the clubs will be shut down. I mean, for 1,000 years, people will be made to do right. For 1,000 years, people will attend church services. For 1,000 years, people will be, when people gather, people will be there. They'll be made to do right. And then after 1,000 years of doing right, being made to do right, the old devil's loosed and he goes out to deceive people. The depravity of man. Well, I don't know if I'm following the point you're trying to make. Here's the point I'm trying to make. If we are not busy making ourselves, look up here, please. If we're not busy making ourselves do what God would have us to do, pretty soon we're not going to be doing it. We're going to be doing whatever we want to do. Doing whatever. No, the depravity of man. That's the way that we are. I mean, this old flesh is just wicked, isn't it? And so maybe it's just to prove the depravity of man. He does go out to deceive the nations. Verse number 8 says, and he shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So the old devil gets out, and he goes around and he starts gathering up this army of people. And I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know how he is going to do that. But we know he's a liar.
Right.
And we know he's very good at it. And so maybe he starts telling people, hey, you guys come on and go with me. We're going to wipe God and that crowd out once and for all. I'm tired of him thinking that he can just run everything, rule everything. I've been trying to get on that throne for a long, long time, and I've got a plan, and we're going to wipe them out, them holy rollers. I'm just so tired of all this Christian stuff. We're going to wipe all of them out. No, I don't know what he's going to say, but he must do a pretty good job because it says he gathers up an army, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So he does this job of gathering up this army. Then verse number 9 says, and they, this army, went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, excuse me, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So he gathers up this army and he says, okay, you guys go that way, we're going to surround the city, you guys go that way, and once we get it surrounded, you wait for my signal, when I give the signal, we're going to go down, man alive, this is going to be great, finally God's going to be out of the picture, we can do whatever we want to do, this is going to be wonderful, but before that ever happens, the Bible says, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. No, one big flash, it's going to be over. Okay, we are on the winning side. Yeah. Absolutely so. It may look like we're losing right now, but there's coming a day. It might look like the dope crowd's closing in on us, but there's coming a day. It might look like the liquor crowd is going to take over, but there's coming a day. It might look like the homosexual LGBTQ crowd is going to change the way that our society is, but there is coming a day. I'm telling you, we are on the winning side. They will not prevail. Amen. They're not going to prevail. And then verse number 10 is one of my very favorite verses here. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever 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 and ever. I know it doesn't say it that many times. I just like it. Come on, it's going to be a great time, and those smut faces completely out of the picture. We don't have to deal with them anymore. I mean, what a day that is going to be when he's kicked off into the lake of fire and brimstone. I hope I get to kick him, hope you get to kick him, hope we all get to kick him. It's going to be a great day anyway, okay. But what takes place next is the most horrifying event that will ever happen in history, ever. The Great White Throne Judgment. Now, at this point, the judgment seat of Christ has already taken place. The judgment seat of Christ is where you and I that are saved by the grace of God will stand before God one day and we'll give an account of our Christian life, whether it's good or bad. No, we're going to have to stand before the Lord one of these days. You and I that are saved, we're going to stand one of these days and we're going to give an account of our Christian life. What we've done. No, what we've done with the talents he gave us, the opportunities he gave us, and on it goes. We will stand before him and we will give, we will give testimony of what we have done with our Christian life, whether it be good or bad. It's what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches. We'll never have to answer for our sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. No, because we're saved by the grace of God. That was taken care of. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ took care of all the sin. Hallelujah. We're not going to have to pay for that. That debt was paid by Jesus himself. So we'll not have to pay for our sin. We'll have to answer to God. We'll not pay for our sin, but the unsaved will. Those that don't know Christ, they will answer for their sin. And so I want to look at these next few verses of what's going to be there at this great white throne judgment on that day. Look at verse number 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And so we see here, first off, that the Almighty Judge will be there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be the one on the throne that day. God the Father will be there, but he's a spirit, we'll not see him. God the Holy Spirit will be there, he's a spirit, we'll not see him. But God the Son, in all of his glory, arraigned in all of his glory, he will be there that day. He will be the judge that day. And it says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now think with me about this, okay? This is the face of one that's preparing to judge those that have denied him. This is the face of one that's preparing to judge those that have scorned him. This is the face of one that's preparing to judge those that have killed his servants. This is the face of one that's preparing to judge those that have twisted his word and brought out different perversions of the Bible, that if you believe the doctrines that they taught, you couldn't be saved by the grace of God. You hold on, Brother Marshall. You're saying you can only think you can be saved only out of that King James Bible? No, no, that's not what I said. It's not what I said at all. But there are different versions of the Bible out there that take away the doctrine of the virgin birth, the doctrine of the blood, the atonement of Christ. And I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ wasn't virgin born, we're all in trouble.
Right.
All of us are in trouble. No, this is the face of one that's preparing to judge those that have sit in services such as this one right here this morning, being convicted of their need of salvation, yet letting their pride or their sin keep them from coming and receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So this is the face from whom the sin-cursed heaven and earth fled away, because now all sin is to be judged. All sin. And I just don't think it's going to be too happy of a face. Do you? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ looks down on this earth right now with eyes of compassion. He's so compassionate. I mean, truly, eyes of compassion. But on this day, no eyes of compassion. Eyes like fire. And I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus Christ has such lips of mercy. I mean, ready to plant that kiss upon a repentant sinner's neck and welcome him into the family. I'm so thankful for that right now he has such lips of mercy. But on this day, there's not going to be any lips of mercy. Lips of judgment is going to happen. Because judgment day has arrived. And the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ will be the one that's presiding on that day. Look at verse number 12. And he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Stop right there for a moment. We'll get the rest of this verse in a minute. So the Almighty Judge will be there. But secondly, what I see is going to be there is some apologetic people. He said, I saw the dead, small and great. Now, when it talks about seeing the dead, it's talking about those that are dead in their trespasses and sin. It's talking about those that have never truly been born again by the Spirit of God. Their spirit's never been made alive. Those dead in their trespass and sin. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great. From the littlest sinners to the biggest sinners. They're all going to be there. All of them are going to be there. People like Adolf Hitler, he'll be there. People like Mussolini, he'll be there. Joseph Stalin, he'll be there. You think about that. The terrorists that attacked America on 9/11. Thinking they were doing God's bidding, they'll be there. Osama bin Laden, their leader, king. No. Listen, even Bible examples. King Agrippa. Remember King Agrippa? That told the Apostle Paul, you know, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Well, he'll be there because almost isn't good enough. No. You must be born again. No. So you think about that. No. King Agrippa, Ahab, Jezebel. I mean, Bible examples. We can think of a lot of them. But not only them, the unknowns will be there. I'm talking about the Jims and Joes and Georges and Franks and Bobs and Johns and Jacks. The Allisons and Emilys and Jennifers and Kims and Susans. All those that have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will be there on that day. Well, preacher, I just won't go to that thing. Oh, no, there, you won't miss it. No. And let me interject this. We that are saved, we're going to be there too. We're going to be watching all this happen. And I believe for those that are going to be judged on that day, I believe there's going to be some apologizing going on.
Amen. Right.
What are you talking about? I think we're going to hear stuff like, look, if I'd only known this was real. If I'd only known that preacher was telling me the truth, if I'd only known, I would have got saved. I would have done that. No. If I'd only known, I wouldn't have mocked him. I wouldn't have ridiculed him. I wouldn't have made fun of those Christian people. If I would have known, I mean, if I'd known this was going to be the end of this, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to act like that. I didn't mean to not believe. I didn't mean, can you just give me another chance? Come on, can't you hear them? No, you do understand. This isn't a fairy tale. This is really going to happen one of these days. It's really going to happen. And man, I believe there's going to be a lot of people apologizing for not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it brings us to the second part of that verse. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So not only the Almighty Judge is going to be there and some apologetic people, but the all-telling books are going to be there. Well, what's that all about? Well, the book of remembrance will be there. That's the book in which all sin is recorded, and that's a matter of fact. See, from the time that we come to the age of accountability, realizing what sin is, until the time that we go off into eternity, if we don't trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all sin is recorded. All of it. Every bit of it. And I don't know how the Lord's going to handle this. I don't know if he'll have an angel there that just begins to read through the book as that one person stands before him. Oh no, this isn't going to be a group judgment. They'll stand there one by one and answer for their particular sins. And I don't know exactly how God is going to do it. Maybe he'll have the angel begin to read the sins one by one. Or maybe he'll have some type of a big screen set up. Come on, God can do whatever he wants to do. And whether he begins to have that angel read the sins one by one or show the sins one by one, can you imagine? No, look up here. Can you imagine having every sin you've ever committed exposed to the whole world? Can you imagine as that one person stands there and the angel begins to read the sins or they begin to show them whatever the case may be, can you imagine that person saying, no, nobody knew I did that. Nobody knew I went there. Nobody knew I had that hid there. No, I forgot all about that. I didn't realize, can you please just stop right now? Because I know I was terrible, I was bad. Can you please just stop? I don't want anybody to see anymore. No, I forgot all about that. Nobody knew I did that. Nobody knew I had that hid there. Nobody knew I was doing that behind closed doors. Nobody knew that. Come on, can you hear them? It's going to be a terrible time. But the books will be there. Not only the book of remembrance, but the word of God will be there. Because that's by which sin is going to be judged. By God's word. Come on, that's the matter of right. Well, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but, I just don't see it like that. God is right.
Amen.
But I just don't believe that part. You better believe it. No, if the Word of God says it, we better just take God at His Word and believe that. Yeah. We are going to be judged by this. That's why it's so important that we're in it every day. Isn't that right? That we would know what God would have us to do. But not only the Book of Remembrance, the Word of God, but the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be there. No, it says that. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And that's a matter of correctness. Now, wait a minute, Brother Marshall. That Lamb's Book of Life thing, that's the book that all the names of the saved people are written in? Correct. Yeah, you got it. But he's judging the lost people? Yes. So why would that book be there? Well, because I believe there's going to be some crying for mercy. Now, I think we're going to hear things like this. Wait a minute, my name has to be in there. You don't understand, I was a church member. I was baptized. In fact, I was baptized a couple of different times. And I was a good person. I mean, it's not like I ever killed anybody or anything. I mean, come on. My mom and dad were Christians. My grandma and grandpa were Christians. I sang in the choir. I mean, I served in the church. I taught Sunday school. I worked around the church. Do you remember, Lord? I turned over that new leaf and I quit drinking. I quit smoking. I quit gambling. I quit cussing. I mean, I did my best to live a good life. I did my best to do what I knew what to do. Could you please just look one more time? I mean, my name has to be in there. I don't know if the Lord will even allow the angel to turn the pages of the book. I don't know. But if he does, and it's alphabetized, and he goes through the A's and the B's and the C's and the D's and all the way through the Z's and closes the book, here's what he's going to say. It's just not there. Because, see, God makes no mistakes. Amen. At all. And your name's either going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it's not. Amen. It's going to be blotted out. It's important that we know that. The books that are there at that time will leave nothing to be assumed. All evidence that's needed at that point is going to be available. Which brings us to verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead, those are dead in their trespasses and sin, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. So people are going to be there, and they're going to be accordingly judged, according to their works. Listen, or according to their sins. According to their sins. What's that all about? Well, there's going to be different degrees of punishment in hell. I truly believe that those that have lived a life of unbridled wickedness will no doubt have a worse fate than those that have never heard. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. You think that those never heard are going to have to go to hell? Yes. That's why it's so important that we continue to support missionaries around the world, isn't it? Amen. Come on, that's why it's so important that we keep tracts in our pocket or purse, whatever the case may be, that we can pass those out, let people know that there is a God in heaven and that he made a plan for us. That's why it's so important that we're telling everybody along the way, isn't it? Come on, very, very important that we're letting people know, because people that do not hear, well, I tell you what, I was listening to a podcast. Well, be careful about that, okay? I'll just interject that. I was listening to this podcast and that guy said if people didn't hear, they don't have to go to hell. Well, he needs to read his Bible again. Because the Bible declares, no, there's only one way to the Father. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to ever make it to heaven. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many roads.
That's right. Amen.
There's only one way.
Amen.
One way. If someone has refused to repent and trust Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to have a place in hell. Oh, but Brother Marshall, what about this? There's this little old lady that lives down the street, and she is so nice. I mean, she's so nice, and, she bakes cookies for the kids, and, I know she has all those cats and everything, but, I mean, she's so nice. She's never hurt anybody, anything. I mean, what about her? Look, if she's never trusted Christ, she's going to have a place in hell. I don't say that with any joy in my heart whatsoever. Not at all. People need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ. Very real. And there are some that say this. Well, all my buddies are going to hell. You know, that's where I'm going to be too. You know, you holy rollers, you go on to heaven, sit on your cloud, play your harp, whatever you're going to do up there, whatever you're going to do. I tell you what, we're going to go to hell. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to hell, and we're going to get with the king of hell, the devil. We'll get with the king of hell, and then we'll just party for eternity. It's going to be one great big party for eternity. Man, it's going to be good. None of you holy rollers to pour cold water on it. Man, we'll get with the king of hell, the devil. We'll party for eternity. It's going to be awesome. Well, let me just clue you in on something. First off, the devil is not the king of hell. No. It was created as a place of eternal torment and punishment for him and his angels.
Right.
So there's not going to be any partying going on down there. Oh, no. Hell's still a very real place. It's still a place of fire and brimstone. It's still a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's still a place where the worm dieth not. I am telling you, it's a horrible, horrible place that nobody in their right mind would really want to go.
Amen.
It's a horrible place. It's still as much as it's ever been. And some people might say, well, that's not fair. Just doesn't seem fair. No, listen. God's not fair. God is just. Come on. He is righteous. He is pure. He is holy. He's the creator, and he is the judge. Absolutely so. And these people, no. These people, no matter what they may say, here's what they're going to hear. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know who I think is going to have one of the worst spots in hell? My opinion. I believe the devil and his angels are going to have the worst spot. You know who I believe is going to have one of the worst spots there? I believe it's going to be those that have heard the gospel over and over and over and over and had a chance to trust Christ as their Savior. They had that chance. They had that possibility. They could have done that. I believe they'll have one of the worst spots in hell for denying him. No, they might as well have been the ones that nailed him to the cross that day. Truly. It's just not going to be a good thing. Not at all. Look at verse 15. We'll come back to verse 14 here in just a minute. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So there is coming a day of appointed punishment. Not going to get away from it. It is going to happen. There's going to come that time after the judgment that people will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. There's not going to be any escaping. People that don't know Christ, they will face God. They will be judged. And they will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." No such thing as reincarnation.
Amen.
No such thing as purgatory. Can't find it in the Bible. Nope. When you close your eyes in death, you're either going to open them in the presence of the Savior or in a horrible place called hell. There is coming a day. But here's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go. Because God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's His will. Well, I know, preacher, but it's easy for you to say because, you're a preacher. But I've not always been a preacher. I was raised in a drunkard's home. My dad was a cowboy raised up in the ranches in New Mexico, but he liked his booze. And my dad was not a happy-go-lucky drunk. He was a very mean drunk. One of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet when he was sober, but when he drank, it was like Jekyll and Hyde. And I remember many a time him coming home at night, tearing up the house, whooping on my mom, my sisters, and just a horrible, horrible life. The first time I remember being so drunk that I couldn't stand up, I was probably about 8 years old. Eight. My dad would give me booze because he thought it was funny. His buddies thought it was funny. And so, learning to have a taste for that at an early age, and I did, I learned how to get my hands on it even when Dad wasn't around. Out drinking on the streets, grade school age. Whether I stole it out of his liquor cabinet, ice box, whatever the case may be. When I was 13, I smoked marijuana for the first time out in front of my house. Wasn't long after that by the time I was 14, I was doing all types of hard drugs. Anything I could get my hands on. Anything to escape the reality of our home life. I'm not suggesting that was good. I'm just telling you where I came from. Anything to escape that, truly. And by the time I was 16, I was pretty much a drunkard myself, besides all the dope that I was doing. My folks owned a little bait shop place where I could get all the booze I wanted. And I was pretty much a drunkard myself. I don't like that word alcoholic. They say it's a disease, but if it's a disease, it's the only disease you can buy in a bottle.
That's right.
It's really not a disease. It's sin. It's addictive sin, like all other sin is addictive. It's just addictive. By the age of 16, my life was a wreck and a ruin, a mess. So bad. At the age of 17, my dad and I had a horrible fight one day in the mobile home we were living in. And he threw me out the door. He told me I didn't have a place there anymore. And I went on my way. And not long after that, at the age of 17, I made one of the worst mistakes that I ever made in my life, and I used a needle for the first time and became an intravenous drug user. And for the next 10 years, I was pretty much in and out of trouble, in and out of jail, on again, off again, trying to keep my life right, trying to keep going. It was during that time that I met my wife, and we were married. At the age of 27, my life was pretty much over. It's pretty much over. Pretty much everybody had given up on me. I'd pretty much given up on myself, truly. My dad told me most every day of my life that I remember, he told me I wouldn't ever be worth anything. You know, you tell somebody that long enough, they start believing it. I'd pretty much given up. People had given up. But there were some people praying for me. And God began to work. And I heard the gospel. It's a long story. Won't get into all of it, but I heard the gospel. How Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin. How he lived a perfect, sinless life, the very begotten Son of God, never sinned one time. No, not one time. The perfect, sinless Son of God. And how he placed himself in the hand of his captors and allowed them to beat on him unmercifully. And how they did so. How they blindfolded him and beat him. How they platted the crown of thorns and placed it upon his head and then smacked that down with reed. How they mocked him and ridiculed him and spit on him over and over again. How they tied him to a whipping post. And with a cat of nine tails, it was a cat with a whip with eight tails on it. And what they would do is they'd tie pieces of stone and metal and broken pottery, whatever, that would rip flesh away on each end of this whip. And now they tied him to the whipping post and whipped him 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 until most commentators believe that probably the bones of his back were exposed. They whipped him so much. There were a lot of men that never made it away from the whipping post at all because the whip would wrap around their body and continue until it just disemboweled them and left them right there. He didn't deserve that. I did. I deserved it, but he didn't deserve it. But he did that for, no, look up here. He did that for you. He did that for me. How they took him off the whipping post and laid a crown, laid a cross upon his back, marched him through the streets of Jerusalem, headed toward Calvary. Now people spat on him over and over and over, mocked him and ridiculed him, cursed him, the very begotten Son of God. He just let it happen. He went through all that beating and still was able to carry his cross all the way up to Mount Calvary. Oh, I know Simon Cyrene was bid to help him along the way. You know, I believe that Jesus still carried the big weight of that cross.
Amen.
Absolutely. Because he was a man.
Right.
No, he's a man's man. No. He wasn't this little... Listen to me. He wasn't this little frail-looking guy you see in the pictures that are painted. No. He'd been a carpenter since the time he was 13. I'm figuring he's a pretty good man. He's able to take that beat and still carry the cross. Oh, but Brother Marshall, he fell beneath the load of that cross. You can't find that in the Bible. No, it makes for good singing. I know several songs that say that. I guess it makes for good singing. But no. I believe he carried the weight of that cross all the way to Calvary and then got up there and he laid down his life. He laid it down. Nobody forced him. As they nailed him to that cross, nails through his hands, nails through his feet, never uttered a word. He did that for you.
Amen.
He did that for me. And I heard the story, and I couldn't believe he did that for me, for me. As vile as I was, as wicked as I was, he did that for me. And then he gave up the ghost. They killed him, preacher. Oh no! They didn't kill him. They couldn't kill him. He was God. He gave up the ghost. That's what the Bible teaches us. Gave up the ghost and died for the sin of mankind. Shed his blood. And they laid him in a tomb. And he did lay there dead for 3 days and three nights. But at the end of that time, he rose by his own power. Proving who he was. The very begotten Son of God, God in the flesh. Not many days after that, he ascended to the Father where he sits at his right hand even this morning. And again, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when I heard that he did all of that for me, and God convicted my heart that that's what I needed more than anything else, I got down beside my coffee table one morning in Longview, Texas, in my apartment, and I cried out for God, ask him to save my soul, and he did.
Amen.
And he did. You never convinced me otherwise. I believe I could take, if the apartments tore down, I believe I could take you to the spot where it was. I'm telling you, I know God saved me that morning because I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No. And I said all that stuff, bad stuff about my life just to say this. Look, if God can save me, he can save anybody. He not only saved me, he changed my life completely. I still can't believe. I've been preaching all these years, still can't believe God called me to preach. I still can't believe it. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? He hung naked on that cross, suffering more than any man's ever suffered. Yeah, I've seen those pictures, little crown of thorns and blood running down. Oh, no. Most believe that by the time they nailed him to the cross, you could scarcely tell he was a man because they had beat him so badly. And he did that for you. And for me, he hung there before the whole world. Listen to me. He hung there before the whole world with great hopes that people would not stand before him at the great white throne judgment. He did that so people wouldn't have to go to hell. Did that for us. For you and me.
Amen.
For us. Verse 15 says again, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I believe there's coming a day for you and I that are saved, a day of absolute helplessness. Once people are judged, it says they're cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I don't think it's just going to be a line where the angels are standing there and saying, okay, keep the line moving on into the lake. Come on, don't hold up. Keep going. No. I believe they're going to have to be drugged.
Amen.
Kicking and screaming.
Yep.
Come on, they're fixing to be cast into hell, of which they have no hope whatsoever of ever getting out.
Right.
Once they're there, they're there. No hope. And I believe they're going to have to be drugged. Cast in. Let me ask you a question. As we're standing there as saved people, we're standing there observing all of this. Can you imagine seeing people that you know standing in that line? Can you imagine them looking at you and going, "You are a Christian? Wait. You knew this was going to be the end? And you never told me? Wait. You were a Christian and you never one time invited me to church? You never one time gave me a gospel tract? You never one time just tried to show me the love of Christ and help me to know what I needed to know so I wouldn't be here right now?" Come on, can you imagine seeing people you know? Moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, co-workers, schoolmates, next door neighbors, people that you drive by every day. Can you imagine seeing them stand there? And them looking at you and going, "Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me?" See, for you and I, it's going to be a day of absolute helplessness because we're not going to be able to do anything at all except stand there and cry. We can reach them now. We can tell them now. We can invite them now. Well, I just don't know what to do. I'm telling you, no. Let me tell you what started. An old buddy that I used to run with wrote me a handwritten letter. He had gotten saved. Amen. I couldn't believe it. I had to read it 3 or 4 times where I couldn't believe he wrote me this letter. "Hey, Bill, I think your life would be a whole lot better if you just go to church." This guy's telling me to go to church. You know what God did? He used that letter to get me to go to church.
Amen.
Where I heard the gospel. We got to tell people. Come on, this isn't a club.
Amen.
This is God's church.
Amen.
He left us here to be the light of the world.
Amen.
To tell people.
Amen.
That day, it's going to be a day of absolute helplessness. We're not telling folks. Okay, verse 14, we're done. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So there's coming a day of annihilated death where there's going to be no more death. Where we're not going to, no, that where we that are saved are not going to have to worry about, we're not going to have to worry about that anymore. Death and hell are going to be, they're going to be gone. They're going to be, it's going to be over. There's going to be no more death, no more pain, no more parting, no more sorrows, no more fears, no more tears. In fact, in chapter 21, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Well, okay, preacher, what are all the tears about? Remember what we just saw? No, right after that, we're going to be, we that are saved are going to be ushered into heaven, but there's going to be a lot of tears before that time. "And God shall wipe away all of our tears." Listen to me. And he'll not only wipe away all of our tears, but the Bible says that he's going to wipe away the remembrance of former things, where we don't have to remember what we just saw for eternity. That's all going to be gone. And we're going to be in that wonderful, wonderful place that God created for us called heaven. That's a very real place. In fact, it's going to be home.
Amen.
For us that are saved. Home. Yeah. It's going to be wonderful. I don't claim to know how to sing. At home, they pretty much want me to sing on a hill far away. Far, far away. But remember that old hymn. "There is coming a day."
Amen.
"When no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. A glorious day that will be. And it will be. And it will be, no doubt about it. But before that day, come on, stay with me, I'm done. Before that day, the great white throne judgment. People that don't know the Lord will stand there and be judged for all their sin and cast into a very real place called hell. Oh, I know modernists have tried to air condition it, but it's still real.
Amen.
People will end up there for eternity.
That is right.
Let me ask you a question, and I am done. Where are you going to be that day? What crowd are you going to be in? What line are you going to be in? It's so very important that we know that we know that we know that we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There's no more important decision in this life than to know that we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, preacher, there's a lot of churches out there that you can go to. Don't preach stuff like this. I know that's why it's important that this church does.
Amen.
It's important. And I don't get any joy. There's a lot of things that I would rather preach than this, but I'm telling you, this is a message that needs to be heard around our world.
Amen.
Today, because there is coming a day. Where are you going to be on that day? It's important that you know. Would you bow your heads with me? For just a moment, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, in respect of the Lord and respect of people around you for just a moment, if you will. I appreciate that. There's possibility that this morning there's someone in here that would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've ever put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not sure. So, Brother Marshall, would you remember me in prayer? Well, I'd like to do that. I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand wherever you're at? Just slip it up, hold it up for just a moment. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do any of that. But I'd like to pray for you, preacher. I'm just not sure that I've ever trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Would you please pray for me? Anyone here like that, just slip your hand up, right back down. We'll see it. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate that. Others. Preacher, when you pray for them, will you pray for me? Absolutely so. Just slip your hand up. I'll acknowledge it. We'll move right on. We're not going to try to force you to do anything. I'd just really like to pray for you. It's so important. So vitally important. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. This morning, when I talked about those people that are going to be in that line, let me ask you this. You'd say, preacher, God brought somebody to my mind when you were talking about that. Somebody I need to witness to, somebody I need to witness to again. Somebody that got mad at me the first time I did it, but I know that it's important that I do it again. Preacher, will you please pray for me that I'll have the boldness to share Jesus Christ with them initially or one more time, whatever the case may be. Preacher, God brought somebody to mind when you were talking about that. Would you pray with me about that? I'd like to. Would you slip up your hand wherever you're at? There's somebody I need to talk to about Jesus, preacher. Would you pray with me about that? God bless you there and there and there, there, right here, back there, over here. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You may put your hands down. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for the warning that you give us. I pray for those in here that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is a personal decision that they have to make. It's something that they have to want. We know that. But I pray, dear Lord, that you'd impress on them and convince them and convict them and bring them to that place that they would come and receive Christ before it's eternally too late. And then for the many hands that went up across the auditorium, it's so important that we're telling people about your precious Son and what he did for us. And so I pray, dear God, for those that raise your hands, I pray that you would give them the wherewithal to share the gospel or to share it again, whatever needs to happen, that it would happen And Lord, that you would open those doors, and that you would make an opportunity for them to once again tell people about Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, as only you can this morning. Father, help people to come pray. Maybe they just need to come pray for someone that they've been witnessing to. I just ask that your will would be done, that you would that those that are lost, Lord, would be saved, and those that are saved, Lord, would be determined to be a better witness. We pray these things and trust you for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Some have come to the altar. Piano's going to play. Whatever God would have you to do. That's all I would ask. That whatever God would have you to do in this instant. Maybe you do need to come pray for someone. Or maybe you need to come and trust Christ as your personal Savior. You let God have His way. You'll not go wrong. Whatever God would have you to do. There's still time. Come on.
Look full in His wonderful face.
There's still room.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Another verse. This one's for you.
Through death into life everlasting. Past and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion. For more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
Let God have His way.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Would you be seated very quietly while these finish up? Thank you very much for that.